You know, God says to the preacher, always, you take the lead. He says to the priest, now you pick up the ark and you go before the people. You know, if you're going to have followers, you have to have a leader. You just can't have followers without having a leader. And the leader is important. God has always and will always use leaders. He uses men that have courage, that have conviction, that will step out and stand up for the Lord, and then he expects other people to follow him. Now he says to the priest, you move out first. You move out first. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now Joshua, remember, is a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know when Jesus Christ is going to be glorified? When? When his people begin to move out. That's right. When we begin to obey his command. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel Amen. Unto every creature.
Amen.
When we begin to obey the command, when we begin to move out and follow the ark of the covenant of God, then we're going to see the Lord Jesus glorified.
Amen.
You know, if we really love the Lord like we say we do, and I say if because I think there's plenty of reason to say if there, if we did, we'd want other people to know him too, wouldn't we?
Amen.
Wouldn't we?
That's right.
Listen, when I find a good eating place in Mexico, and that's not very often, but when I find a good eating place, I want to tell other people because I enjoy it. When I find something that's good, I want to share it with somebody else. If we really love the Lord Jesus like we say we do, then we'd want other people to know him too. Well, he said to Joshua, today I'll begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was, as I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. This was a difficult task. The priest didn't have the blessing of walking in dry land. He said to the priest, you're going to walk out there in that river and you're going to stand still. You know, sometimes it's easy to walk out there, but it's harder to stand still. Sometimes, you know, as leaders, we can walk out and we can step forward and we can get ourselves into a situation, but boy, it's awful easy to start crawling and start backing up. But he said, you're to move out into the river and then you're to stand still. Because by their standing still in the face of that flood that was coming down, God was going to work a miracle. You know, I believe, and I don't go in for this of patting people on the back, but I believe that the Lord has blessed this church because some have dared to step out and stand still.
Amen.
I really do. I believe that some have dared, have had the courage to step out. I mean, when it looked like the flood was going to sweep everything away, they've stood still. And God is blessed. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you all of these peoples. And I'll not read all those names again. But you know what he said here? You're going to know that without fail, God is going to do what he said he would. You know, we really need an encouragement again to believe God. You know, there was a time in our Christian life when we were just as crazy as that guy Bill was talking about last night. We would do outlandish, eh? Because we believed that God would do what he said he would do.
Yeah.
But you know, with a little sophistication and a little education, we came to the place where we said, well, we got to be careful. We've got to be very careful, you know. We don't want to step out and we don't want to be ridiculous. But Joshua said, you're going to know that without fail, God is going to do exactly what he said he would do.
Amen.
You're going to see something that will give you proof positive that God is going to deliver the goods. But now what I want to know is, how many times do we have to see this before we believe it? How many times does the river have to be parted? How many times do we have to walk across dry shod before we can take God at his word and believe that he means what he says? How many times does God have to answer prayer before we believe that He will answer prayer? Just like Brother Bernie said, isn't it amazing? Every time we give a testimony, we say, "My, the Lord answered my prayer." What's the big deal about that? That oughtn't to be unusual at all. That oughtn't to be any more unusual than to say that I ate this morning and I got full. Isn't the result of eating getting full? The result of praying ought to be answered prayer.
Amen.
But we don't believe God anymore. Bill really hit the nail on the head. We just don't believe anymore. He said, Jesus, remember what He said to Mary and Martha? If you will only believe, you will see the glory of God.
Amen.
Listen, we don't see, I admit honestly, I don't see the glory of God. I just long, down inside somehow, there's something within me that longs to see the glory of God. But you know what? I have to admit, the only reason I don't is because I don't believe. Do you think that for a minute that God has some special people somewhere prepared that are able to do certain things in certain ways and they get to see the glory of God and only they? No one else? We were talking this morning in our prayer meeting about David. And the Lord just impressed me with this thought. Do you know that David only did what any one of those men could have done? There were thousands of soldiers that had stood there trembling for 40 days and 40 nights and a giant that came out and dared somebody to find him. And here little David, the little shepherd boy with his sling, because you know he couldn't use all that armor of Saul, he went out there and fought the giant and defeated the giant and won great glory to the name of the Lord Jesus, to the name of God. But you know, he didn't do anything unusual, Brother Lindell. I used to think that, my, David was really somebody. No, he just believed God. That's all. Any one of those soldiers could have done the same thing. If they would have only believed God, they could have done the same thing David did. But they didn't believe God. They looked at the giant instead of looking to God. David looked at God, and the giant didn't look like anything
Amen.
At all. Our trouble is we're always looking at giants. Just like those 12 spies that went into the promised land. They came back and they said, "Boy, that land is great. Man, I'd like to have about 25 acres over there." But, boy, you ought to see those people. They're giants. My word, they must be about 10 foot tall. You know, we always exaggerate, don't we, Brother Bernie? We always exaggerate, and especially difficulties. We always exaggerate our difficulties. But listen, David only did what anyone did. Just believe God. The giant can be slain.
Amen.
Any giant. I don't care what giant
Amen.
It is. Despair? There's no giant of despair so big that the sling of faith won't knock him down. Well, my. God is going to do... Listen at the words again. "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail." Without fail. Don't you like that kind of guarantee, brother?
Amen. Amen.
You know what? I was working on my car this afternoon, and I had to buy a socket. I didn't have a socket that I needed, so I went up to buy a socket, and the thing was $3 and something. And I said, "My word, I'm usually looking for bargains. You know, I try to buy a whole socket set for $3. He could charge me $3 for one socket." And he said, "Well, don't worry, it's guaranteed for life." So we bought the socket and took it back, and Luis was working on the car, and he broke about four of those bolts, and on the fifth one, it popped. It broke. Well, the guarantee was good, but the socket wasn't. But you know what? God will not fail. There will not come a time in our life when the promise of God will break like that socket broke on us. I tell you, we can count on God every time.
Amen.
I'm not a veteran missionary. I'm a veteran, but I don't know whether I'm a veteran missionary or not. But I know one thing. I'm a veteran at receiving God's grace. We went to the mission field, and I didn't know much about missions or anything else. I didn't know how to raise support. Didn't know all of the good things you're supposed to do to raise support. And we got to the mission field, and we didn't have any support. That is pledge support. First month, we got $65. And, you know, I guess if I'd been intelligent, I'd have told my wife, "Well, you know, we just blew it." You know, ain't nobody can live on $65, not even Mexico, even on beans and tortillas, not with four kids. And wife is expecting another one. And I guess if I'd have been intelligent, I'd just packed up and come home. But you know, I was so simple, Brother Bernie. I just believed that when we had need, that God would meet that need. I really did. And we didn't have any church underwriting us. We didn't have any mission board underwriting us. We didn't have anybody underwriting us. But somebody challenged me. I'd been waiting 10 years to go to the mission field. I surrendered to go to the mission field, and I waited 10 years for something to happen. I don't know what I was waiting for. I really don't. It might have happened. I didn't even know it. I don't know what I was waiting for. But finally, one day, somebody challenged me, said, haven't you surrendered to go to the mission field? And I said, yeah. Well, how come you're not there? And I said, well, I haven't found anybody to send me. You ever hear that, brother? Mm-hmm. I haven't found anybody to send me. And this brother said to me, well, don't you think that God could send you? And my, that was an electrifying thing. That God could send me? You see, I was Southern Baptist, and I'm not bad-mouthing Southern Baptist, but I was Southern Baptist, and all I knew is, you somebody sends you, and somebody sends you a check every month, you know. And you know, if you get in trouble, they send you another check. And when they told me this, somehow God in within me encouraged me to just believe Him. If He called me, then He could supply my needs.
Amen.
And so we went. Well, what I told all of that to say this, I have never yet missed a meal.
Amen.
Never yet missed a meal.
Praise you, Lord.
Now, we've had beans and we've had pasta. I like beans and I don't like pasta. I'd rather have beans than pasta, but we've had some of both. But I've never missed a meal. What I'm trying to say is that God will not leave you hanging. If you call out on the limb for Him, I'll guarantee you He'll not cut it off.
Amen.
God will not fail. God will manifest in every one of our lives. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have 20 years in experience with the Lord. All you have to have is faith to believe Him. You know when those people walked across the Red Sea, you know who walked across? All of the patriarchs, all those great big long bearded guys, you know, that had spent time with the Lord. Yeah, they walked across. And what about those godly women that prayed, that spent hours praying? Yeah, they walked across too. But you know who else walked across? All the little kids.
Amen.
That's right. All the little children, they didn't even know what was going on. They weren't crying because they just followed the leadership of the Lord. You know, we may be children. We may not have very much of knowledge of the Word of God. We may not have very much a deep spiritual experience with the Lord. But if we'll just by faith walk out, I'll tell you, God will keep the waters back from you too. The water didn't touch those little children just like
Amen.
It touched those big ones.
Amen.
They all walked across. They were following the leadership of God. And listen, when you follow the leadership of God, you just can't fail.
Amen.
You can't fail.
Amen.
Now, it may look like failure outwardly. It may look like failure in the eyes of other people. But we know that it's not. Because God cannot fail. Now you say, well, brother, that's just your philosophy. No, that's the Word of God.
Amen.
That's not my philosophy. That's the Word of God. He cannot fail. He has never failed, and He'll never fail. And that's what Judge was saying. You will know for sure that God will without fail do what He said He would.
Amen.
Drive out all of those heathen
Amen.
Out of that land. Now that was great encouragement, you know it? Because they knew they couldn't.
Amen.
Well, listen, those giants, if anything, had gotten bigger in those 40 years. It had been almost 40 years since they had sent the spies out the first time. If anything, the situation was worse. The cities had more protection now. The walls were thicker. They had more soldiers. They had more of everything. They had more reason to tremble now than they did 40 years before. But you know why they didn't? Because this is a new generation. This is a new generation. You see, God killed off all the unbelievers. In Hebrews, there's some words that are just really, really tough. It says that these people entered not in because of unbelief. It wasn't because of lack of strength. It wasn't because of a lack of a number of other things that we can mention, but it was because of unbelief. And so God killed off all the unbelievers. And you know what? A lot of times in the Christian church, God has to kill off
That's
some
right,
unbelievers.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about unbelievers in the sense of not believing in Jesus. I'm talking about unbelievers in the sense of not believing God's Word. Not believing in God's promises. Not believing in the commandments that God gave that they're for us today. And sometimes God has to raise up a new generation. And you know, I believe that tonight, largely what we're seeing is just that very
Amen.
Thing.
Amen.
God has raised up. You know, I'm so glad. Like a man told me one time, he was rich, and he said, you know, He said, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say that not any rich. But not many rich. I'm glad, aren't you, that God didn't kill off all the old ones. He left Joshua and Caleb. He left two.
Amen.
I tell you know, some of those older ones may be a Joshua and Caleb. We may get to go with these young people into the promised land. We may be able, by God's grace, to see what's never been done in 2,000 years. Because by faith it can be done.
Amen.
Hallelujah, it can be done.
Amen.
You know, we're so easily influenced, like I said before, by the negative. Somebody says, you know, it can't be done, and boy, we're quick to say, amen, it sure can't. But somebody says, you know, I believe that can be done. And we find 1,000 reasons why it can't be done. We start picking to pieces. But you know, we never dream of, when somebody says it can be done, attacking him and saying, now wait just a minute. God says it can be done. That's what Joshua and Caleb did. I tell you, when they came back, they were furious. Because these men dared to intimate that God was not able to deliver that land into their hands. They agreed with everything they said. They said, what they say is true. The walls were high and the people are giants. But God said he'd give it to us,
amen,
and we believe we will.
Amen.
You know, every time we hear a believer say something negative, you know what we ought to say? We ought to say, now wait just a minute. That's not what God says. God says we can. We ought to attack the negative,
amen,
just with the same way that Joshua and Caleb did, just like a wild cat. It ought to make us mad when we hear people that are saying that God cannot, because that's what it boils down to. That's what you see. When the people, when they came back and gave the report, they were not saying that they were not able. Oh, I know that's what they said with their lips, but what they were really saying is that God's not able, because God had been the one that said he would do it.
Amen.
The people never said they would in the first place. It was God who promised the land, and so they were saying that God's not able. And we ought to watch that. Well, God's able. I better hurry. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. He never asks us to go where he hasn't been already.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
Amen.
You know, isn't that marvelous? You know, we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with our infirmities. But we have a high priest that was tempted in every way like we are. Every way like we are, and yet without sin. Listen, when the Lord Jesus gives us a commandment, when he tells us to do something, he's not told us to do something that he hadn't already done before. Oh, it was tough for him, just like it's tough for us sometimes. You know, I don't know what you think about the Garden of Gethsemane. But when Jesus prayed there, Father, let this cup pass from me, I think he was sincere. I think in that moment that Jesus, for the first time, saw the enormous price that he was going to pay. And it overwhelmed him. And he was man. Don't forget that. Oh, he was God. He was the very God, but he was also man. And as he knelt there and prayed that night in the garden, all of the price of our sins was revealed to him. And he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But praise God, he didn't stop.
Amen.
He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, he's been there in those difficult places long before we ever got there. You're lonely. You're discouraged. Whatever your situation is, Jesus Christ has been there for you. The ark went first. God didn't ask his people to go first. He sent the ark first.
Amen.
The ark led the way. And that's a picture of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark is simply an illustration of God's presence with his people. And that's what Jesus is.
Amen.
He has gone before us. Listen, the water will never touch us. It's already touched him. Just like death. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Why? Because Jesus took it for us. And listen, the water may look muddy. The water may look treacherous. But Jesus Christ has already stepped out into it. And if we would just by faith follow him, the water will part.
Amen.
You know what's a marvelous thing? I don't know whether you ever realize this or not, but it says that they walked across dry shod. They walked across dry shod. Now, that's amazing to me. Bill and I go to a place that doesn't rain but about once every 3 years. But it rained several days in a row, and it really rained. And there's a part in the road that's about, not more than 50 feet, maybe 100 feet long. But it got muddy. I mean, it got muddy. And so we started going around it. Of course, not just us, everybody else too. Started going around it. And did you know that 2 months after that rain dried up, quit raining, everything else was dry, but that was still muddy? What I'm saying is that that's a marvelous thing. God didn't just stop the water from flowing, but immediately it was dried up. Now, do you realize how long that water been running over that riverbed? I don't have any idea. But a lot longer that water stood there and that old road in Hidalgo. And yet, they walked across, not through mud, but they walked across on dry ground. What I'm trying to tell you is that God won't just do a little, He's going to do the whole thing.
Amen.
Boy, He's going to do the whole thing.
Amen.
He's going to dry it up. He's going to stop the water from running, and then He's going to pave the highway right across the riverbed. If we'll just believe. But you know, most of us don't even believe He'll part the water. My. It says, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man a tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth. You notice what He says here? The Lord of all the earth. This is not just an ordinary God you're dealing with. This isn't just some little tribal God. This isn't just somebody's idea of what God ought to be like. This is a God of the whole earth.
Amen.
This is the God of all gods. This is the God of all creation. Well, just remember, we're not to be too familiar with that kind of God. When this ark will come into the water, it says, when it shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflows all of his banks at the time of harvest. You notice this? I don't know whether you even thought about this or not, but why did God pick this time? You know, it'd been a lot simpler, Lindell, if he had waited till all the flood waters, went out. They'd been out there 40 years. What's another 3 or 4 months? Why not wait till all the flood? It'd been a lot easier for God, and a lot easier to have faith. It's hard. Now, it's hard to believe that God can stop the river when it's just a little stream. But this is a flood. It's bank to bank, and overflowing the banks. But you know what? God sometimes just picks out the tough
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
Sometimes, He doesn't make it easy for us. Sometimes He just picks out the most difficult circumstance He can find and says, now then, I want you to walk into that.
That's right.
When we say, well, Lord, I can think of a lot of things that I'd rather do. But it says here, and you realize this, don't you? That there's not any idle words in this book.
Amen.
He included that for a reason. And that is simply to tell us, listen, no matter how desperate the situation may seem, no matter how hopeless it may seem, God is able. God is able. I tell you, just this one thing, and I'll move on. I'm almost through. God led the children of Israel by a cloudy pillar in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. And so we know that they were where He wanted them to be, but it says that they came to a place where there was no water. And why do you think God led them there? So they'd starve? Well, that's what they said. Oh, they said, you've led us out here to die. Mm-hmm. Said it'd been a lot better stayed in Egypt. My, they forgotten so quick, didn't they?
That's right.
Isn't it amazing how quick we can forget? Listen, I don't believe that the people in this world are as stupid as Christians are. The Lord Jesus said that. He said the people of this world are wiser than the children of light.
Right.
They hadn't been out of Egypt just a few days. And listen, they had been crying for 400 years for deliverance. They'd been, oh Lord, send us a deliverer. And then just a few days later, they said, man, we're better off in Egypt. They forgot about the taskmasters. They forgot about those guys with those long whips. And they forgot about all that adobe they had to make without any straw. They had to get on their own. They forgot about all of the killing of their babies in the Nile River. They forgot about all of those things so quickly. And I find Christians doing the same thing.
That's right,
find
amen.
Murmuring to the Lord.
God help us.
But what I was going to say is, why did He lead them out there where there wasn't any water? Well, first of all, to test them.
That's right, amen.
First of all, to test them. Listen, whatever situation you find yourself in, it didn't happen by accident. It really didn't. It may seem that way. It may have all the appearance of being an accident, but God doesn't make accidents. The second reason was, he wanted to prove himself a mighty God.
Amen.
Well, if they'd been walking along by the side of this beautiful river, you know, they could stop, got a drink anytime they wanted to. Big deal. They were out there where there wasn't any water. They were out there where there was nothing but sand and rocks, and out of a rock, God made water to come forth. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? Well, God leads us. What I'm trying to say is simply this. God leads us, and sometimes in difficult, difficult circumstances, first of all, to prove us, but second of all, to manifest his glory. If it was always easy, you know, you wouldn't appreciate God at all, would you? I wouldn't. Listen, if it was always just so easy, no problems, I wouldn't appreciate God. But I tell you, God has manifested himself in my life. He's shown me some things because of difficult circumstances. And I praise him for it. Well, it says that Jordan overflows his banks at the time of harvest. And it says that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that's beside Zarephath, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Isn't that marvelous? Where the waters parted, that was right where they wanted to be. You know, God could have made a mistake in his diagram and had them cross in the wrong place, but he didn't. They passed over right against Jericho. You know, after all of these circumstances in our life, I tell you, God's going to put us right where he wants us.
Amen.
Right at the place, at the time, that's right according to God's timetable. You know, I believe we're at that place. I really do. I just have a sense of that from last night in the meeting.
Yes, amen.
I really do. I believe that this church is right at that place right now. But we haven't crossed over yet. I think we're making preparations.
Amen.
I really believe that. I believe we're making preparations to cross over. The spies had already been over. There's some that have crossed over. But you know, God doesn't want just the spies over there. He wants the whole nation of Israel.
Amen.
God doesn't just want a few selected individuals, you know, to gain this thing. But he wants the whole church. And you know, I don't know. I'm not a visionary at all. I don't have any idea that the Lord's going to pick all of y'all up and move you to Mexico or somewhere else. You know, it's a missionary church. I don't mean that at all. Maybe physically you'll never be on the mission field. But I believe that God is opening the eyes right now of this church.
Amen.
To see that we can walk across the Jordan River and take the promised land. There's always that river. And I believe that God, I really do, I believe that in this church, now we've seen some little inklings, we've felt some ripples before, but I believe that God is moving now in a way, and I know some people would really laugh at the few people that we have here and talking in such grandeur, you know. Sound like Moses fixing to lead the children of Israel. No, I realize that we're a few in number, but God delights to work with a few in number. God delights to work with a few. Because you see, that way there can be no mistake in who did it.
Amen.
But I believe that God is ready right now. I believe that he said to us right now, when you see the ark remove, then follow after it. When you see the ark remove,
amen,
then follow after
amen.
It. I believe that God's moving the ark. I really do. I believe that God is saying to us this time right now, it's time. When you see the ark remove, you know what they had to do? They had to get out of their tents.
Get
they had to
up,
fold
right.
up their tents.
Amen.
That's right. They had to get ready. They had to make preparation. They had to do some things. But they were ready to follow. And I don't find in the next chapter it talks about them going across, and I don't find that any of them got left on the other side. It doesn't say. It says, and when they were all clean or crossed over, they were clean crossed over, I believe is the way it puts it. And it indicates that they were all included. Wouldn't that be marvelous if God could do that for us as a church? Just take us. Wouldn't that be glorious?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. But he's doing it. He's beginning that work. I don't think that I've stretched this at all. I really don't. I believe that the application is a legitimate application. I believe that we can today see God move just like He did then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, the miracles that God does today are, I think, greater than the miracles of parting the Jordan River. I really do. Why? The miracle of supplying the support for Billy and Cindy and Sylvia and me and Nelda, Laura.
Amen.
And now we got another one.
Amen.
like you said, Lord, I don't know whether I want to pray that anymore. But you know, if He can supply our need out of, I don't understand. I really don't. But I don't believe that the miracle, and that's not just us. Look up there on that board. That's not just us. Look at all those others. Now, you say, well, we don't send them very much. Man, if you send them $1 a month, that's a lot of money for that many people. But there's a lot more than that going on.
Amen.
What I'm saying is that God has already manifested Himself. He's already shown that He's able. I mean, there's no big guns in here. At least I don't think. Are there any big guns in here? I didn't think there were.
No.
Boy, they sure do hide it well if there are. There's not anybody in here with money. But, you know, that's not what God wants.
Amen.
He wants us.
Amen.
He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need what we have. He needs us. And if He has us, what we have will be taken care of. He'll get that too. That's right. My, but He's already manifested Himself. Now He says, when you see the ark, move out.
Amen.
And you better follow after it. Lord, we just ask You tonight to give us a vision. Lord, help us not to be asleep. Help us not to
Amen.
Be, Lord, not to be looking at the negative things. Lord, help us not to be thinking what if and supposing. And oh Lord, help us just by faith tonight, Lord, to listen to your voice. By faith tonight, Lord, to look and see what You've already done and claim Your promises.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, Lord, I commit myself in You tonight.
Amen.
Lord, to go back and claim Your promises
Amen.
For Mexico, Lord. Lord, I know that Bill and I won't be any different when we get back than we are now. We're just going to be stumbling missionaries. But Lord, I want to go back and claim Your promises.
Amen.
I want to see You part the Jordan River. I want to see You knock down the walls of Jericho. I want to see You claim some
Amen.
Rahabs.
Amen.
Oh God, I want to see You move. Lord Jesus, do it tonight in our hearts. For we ask it in Your name.